Let's bring this meeting to order, February 21st, 2012, Blue River Conservation Commission meeting. This meeting is being recorded. And first item on the agenda, the minutes from February 7th, 2012. Any comments, questions?
Yeah, it was 17th.
Yeah. Hey, Gretchen, you got my comments?
A typo in the story after signing them. What was attributed to me? He said he would not want the commission to take a position on other the issues. It's just transposition on the other issues.
Anything else?
Kind of the same type of editorial comment on the Woodman property, page 3. The last sentence, the property was a priority habitat in 2004 when an ANRAD was filed.
Anything else? Motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next item is the wetlands ordinance. The next meeting is this Thursday in here at 7 o'clock. And I don't know, have they submitted any questions to you guys?
They have not.
Okay.
No.
They didn't seem to have a lot of questions for us when we were there either.
Right. It sounded, I felt like maybe they hadn't reviewed it in as much detail as they wanted to at that point. So hopefully between now and the next meeting they will have. And the regulations as well. Yeah, they want to take a look at the regs.
Yeah, Brian Durbin hadn't read it at all. So, all right. Next item: Springwell Investments conservation restriction. Anything going on with that?
Not a lot of progress, I have to say. I talked to David Santamana at Greenbelt, and we've gone over the issues that we both have. Most of them are issues between the landowner and the holder of the restriction. So in a sense, the pushback from Springwell benefits the city, which will eventually be the landowner. But there are a couple of remaining issues, and there are a couple of issues, unfortunately, that are gone. If Springwell persists, it's going to have to go back to the state, which presents a kind of a timing problem for them. But as I say, not a lot of progress so far. No redraft has been sent to the developers, so that's where things stand at the moment.
Okay.
I understand that Springwell needs to have this CR conveyed to Greenbelt before they can get an occupancy permit on any of their houses.
I thought it was a building permit.
Occupancy permit. Have you been down there?
No.
There are about 6 houses in the ground.
I'm pretty sure they had to be.
Well, if that's the case, then they violated some planning board covenant or not, because the thing is half built.
I'm pretty sure it was a building permit.
I don't know. I've never seen the planning board covenant, so I have no idea what the planning board required.
Yeah, I'm sure that the planning office would be on top of that. He's been in and out, so they've been discussing.
But if you drive down, there, you'll see what I mean. Mm. It's half built.
Okay.
But they are looking to get an occupancy permit on one or two of the dwellings, you know, within the next few weeks. So things have to happen.
Well, they're the ones holding it up.
Well, I'm a little puzzled by the timing, because it looks to me as if their counsel waited till the 11th hour to get back to Greenbelt with concerns that they had. he had the lawyer with the language in the CR, so it's not Greenville's fault, I think, at this point. Anyway, I told David Santamena that I think Greenville should insist on a walkthrough, and I think the city should insist on a walkthrough before anybody takes title to anything, just to make sure that nothing bad has happened since the last time we were out there to the wetlands. And there's a lot of construction, including at least one house that's pretty close to the wetlands. So that may have to be, I don't know, if not a full site visit, then I think somebody should probably go out there with Greenbelt and walk the boundary
prior to
the CR being granted. I think Springwell wants to deed the property to the city pretty much lickety-split when the CR is drafted, so that they're out from under as much as possible.
Yeah, so we need to make sure that it's still okay out there.
Okay. Number four, I'm recusing myself from, so you're up, Steve.
Okay, Coraline Survey, use of conservation.
Okay, is Chip Mel here?
I didn't say.
Well, he thought there was going to be more around 7 o'clock. Okay, so anyway, we have this in two places. So, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. Coraline Survey, use of conservation account. Yeah, no, we're not talking about the enforcement order yet. This is something that was requested of us today, is to be able to use a small amount of money in the conservation account, $2,900 and some odd dollars for the survey that was done in the fall of Crow Lane and the meets and bounds of the city property and the right-of-way around the landfill. And that was done in part to determine whether or not New Ventures was encroaching on city property, and if so, how to handle that. So that's something that was done, and they were encroaching on city property, and we were able to use that as leverage in a number of ways, and I think it's useful. I think it's germane enough to the Conservation Commission's issues out there that we could legitimately pay for that out of the conservation account.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but... And also, I believe the city paid for a survey out there 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, when it already exists.
And the whole property line was staked, and needless to say, have disappeared due to the new ventures out there.
When was the previous survey done?
I would say 2003, 2004.
Okay. I don't know.
If a new survey was commissioned,
it's
got to be paid for by someone.
Well, New Ventures, as a result of the survey, paid for a lot of other stuff.
Who commissioned this survey?
The city did.
Yeah.
We needed to get it done because we needed to see where things lay in order to understand whether or not New Ventures was infringing on city property or not, and at the time that was what we had to do. Apparently they were, and that was useful to the city in having them help us out in some other ways. And in addition, it enables us to ask them to get their stuff off of city property, which is wetlands in a lot of cases. Apparently the siltation that's come down by the detention pond, that's city property. So
so where does this request come from?
So this request comes from the mayor's office. It's $2,900. There's $17,000, more than $17,000 in the account. So, I mean, I think it's valuable to the commission to have that survey data. That survey information for us out there is important as a way to, address issues with New Ventures around the landfill.
I have a hard time seeing this as anything other than an available pot of money.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we can say it's valuable to us, it's valuable to the planning department,
well,
it's valuable
yeah.
to the mayor, it's valuable to everybody.
Well, it is. I mean, and it is an available pot of money, and that's part of the reason why the request has been made, because there are other available pots of money to pay for it, which are a lot less suitable. You know, it doesn't seem to fit with anyone else's pot of money. It kind of fits, we discussed this today, it fits sort of best with conservation. So, at this point, that's what the request is.
Do you have an exact figure?
Yeah. The exact figure is $2,925, and we have $17,819 in the account.
Did this new survey show anything different from the 2003-2004 survey?
I don't know. I'm imagining that if the 2003-2004 survey was useful, then they wouldn't have done this one. Or, you know, if they had it, or maybe they didn't know they had it. Yeah, I don't know if it was something that New Ventures had done and that they had control of.
Who commissioned it again?
The city commissioned this one.
The city? The planning department?
I believe the mayor's office.
The one that commissioned it, did they have any idea how they were going to pay for it?
I wasn't around then. I plead innocent to that. But in the discussions that we had about it today, they had to convince me that it was a useful, that it was an important use of our money. In looking at it, it was a benefit to the city. It's a benefit to the Conservation Commission to have this information. It helps us with all of our issues with New Ventures out there, just giving us that foundation of understanding where they are, where we are, where the wetlands are. And it's a relatively small amount of money for the bang that we got out of that buck is really pretty big in terms of what New Venture, the leverage that it provided the city in dealing with New Ventures after that.
The problem I have with it is less the $2,900 issue in relation to $17,000. It's the fact that we didn't commission the survey.
No.
We weren't even asked about commissioning the surveys. My time. And I'm a little concerned about what this means going forward. Does this mean that every time somebody in another department thinks that there's something that money ought to be spent, oh, we'll just take it out of the conservation fund? That's what bothers me about.
Right.
That's troublesome.
Yeah, I can understand your point, and I think that, I don't know, has it happened in the past where they've come and asked for funds for things like this?
Not in my tenure, but I have a fairly brief tenure.
I think if you make it clear that this isn't something that should be considered a routine use of Conservation Commission funds.
I would think we should be consulted before the fact about the expenditure of money.
I don't think at the time when they made the decision and commissioned the survey that there was an intent to use Conservation Commission funds to do it. I think what happened was it was not, whatever happened at the time, I don't know who was in charge of the project planning and the project management at the time in terms of looking for the funds to pay for it, but it wasn't, a pot of money was not identified. And now the bills have to get paid, and they have to find the pot of money for it to come out of. So, and everyone's situation, I mean, they've looked at different planning department accounts. They've looked at DPS accounts. They've looked at other departments' accounts, and everyone has the same position, which was that they didn't know it was supposed to come out of their account. Ours seems to be the most appropriate. It actually, in a lot of ways, makes sense for us to pay for it. So it's an unfortunate situation where something was done before they identified or requested money to pay for it.
So how do we avoid unfortunate situations in the future? That's my question.
Right.
Well, someone must have. I mean, someone said, let's get this done.
Yeah, someone said.
And they had to have known that the money had to come from somewhere.
Right.
So where was that?
That happens a lot,
especially when it's a small project like this. And I think that they probably said, let's just get it done. They gave the job to somebody to go out and get the survey work done, to get the bids and sign them up and get it done. And then nobody identified the payment plan for that. If it was a larger project and they had to go out to bid, then you identify the pot of money before you do that. This was something that was...
Yeah, I think this was something that...
It was an oversight.
And they had to get it done because everybody was waiting on the closure plan.
Right.
Did we get to see the plan?
Yeah, we asked John Eric today to email it to us, and so he's going to do that. And I can forward it all to you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that crabby about this, but I mean, it's really annoying.
I think the way I'm looking at it is that we're a city commission. It was a city project. There's a benefit to us to have it. It needs to get paid for. We have some funds.
But the commission is supposed to basically decide how the conservation, that's the statute.
Right. It wasn't done in the right, it's not in the right order. This is the cart before the horse or whatever you want to call it. But
is it actually legal for us to spend money on that?
Probably. The statute's broad enough, but I mean, the fact is it empowers us to decide how that account gets spent. Not another city department. But anyway, it was done, and now the request is
here. In the interest of goodwill, I suspect we should probably pay for it and make it clear.
I think it's goodwill.
We're not going to do it again in the future.
Yes, I would agree with that, Steve. I think that's the right way to look at it. If you can.
Yeah, I would suggest that maybe we table it until the next meeting so that they have time to send us copies of the survey and copies of the 2003 form as well.
Yeah, I think there's
this is kind of a little...
I know what you mean. You could do that. You can certainly do that. I think there's a little bit more of an immediacy about it, unfortunately.
Right.
Because the bill needs to get paid.
Well, I was about to ask, how long has it been sitting?
This is sort of like problem solving for the city right now. November
28th.
Oh, that's not
bad. No, that's not bad.
October 28th and November 28th.
I wait that long for National Grid.
Me too.
I kind of like your suggestion, Paul. That is.
It's cleaner.
Yeah.
It's cleaner.
Isn't there some slush fund that could be paid out of the interim?
No, that's the problem.
There isn't.
There are no slush funds.
Do we want to inquire further as to how this survey work relates to the prior survey work? Or is
if we want to table this till the end of the meeting, actually, we could, because I can go into my email and check and see if John Eric has emailed me the data yet.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no point in waiting in two more weeks if I have it on my computer right now tonight. So we could save this until after.
We're doing okay. All right, next item is the Plum Island South Jetty Repair Project and an update thereof. So it appears they're going to want to stockpile large stones on the island somewhere. I guess my question is, how are they going to get them out?
Well, that's my concern.
To the jetty.
How do they get them to where they need them without destroying and have to do anything with this?
Well, supposedly that would be in the notice.
Yeah.
They're awfully heavy.
Wouldn't they barge them? No.
No, they won't decide to just jump in the truck.
I think they're concerned about barging them because it's not a good place to have a barge be hanging out right there. The mouth.
Yeah.
But how do you get them to the jetty? They're not going to drive them out.
You've
got 100 yards out there you've got to get these massive stones to. They're not going to drive a truck. The crane's not going to make it there. They're going to have to barge them out there.
I went to the beach committee meeting here last Thursday. So I really was here. I also went to the Plum Island meeting on Friday with the Corps of Engineers. And they really didn't have a definitive plan as to how they were going to do it. But the impression I got was that, and this was at least the Friday meeting at the Peter Hall was shared by Senator Carr, stating that, you know, better take the blocks of rock now, otherwise you're going to have to pay for it later. And in order to do so, when they're ready to ship it, it has to go to a storage location, and they're talking about the parking lot near the former Coast Guard station in the Plum Island. And I also got the impression that at least the landward side of the jetty would be built, constructed by cranes on the beach, and that the outer reaches of the jetty, which would be built later on as the project progressed, would most likely be done by barge. And again, they are forecasting that the project would start after the piping season, which would start next fall. They haven't got their specs finalized yet. They're almost finalized. They expect to have the bids out, contracted, awarded, and yada yada. But in the meantime, their intent is to truck as much rock as they can get down Northern Boulevard to be dumped either in the parking lot or on the federal property with the former Coast Guard station. Is that the question you got?
Yep. Yeah, that sounds.
So, what do you think, they'll be trucking the rocks in before September 1st?
Yes.
For storage?
Yes.
So the parking lot will be filled with rocks all summer.
We don't know the degree.
I don't know exactly. The impression I got too in meetings was that would be cheaper and easier to repair the dunes that get destroyed after the fact. Is that the impression you got?
Well, I wasn't at the meeting on Friday,
yeah,
but
that's the impression I got.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable.
But again, that they would use the federal, if you want to, I'm not sure if easement or whatever, but the access would be, you know, on quote, the federal land that's out there.
How soon did they talk about getting the rocks? You know, sound like a big hurry, so we got them for free.
I think they were talking about, you know, over the summer. Mm-hmm. And again, to this day, I don't understand what the big rush is. I mean, those blocks of rock have been at Seabrook at the power plant for 35 years.
Yeah.
And why all of a sudden it has to come out in the next 4 months, I don't understand, but.
So
I guess that's a NRC regulation or something now.
Did you get the impression that they're going to move the rocks to the parking lot or wherever before they even file an NOI?
They weren't specific.
Well, we'll have to get some more information from them before
that. Again, this is wrong. You know, this is
just a heads up.
Yeah, this is the politicians talking that, you know, it was kind of like telling everyone, you know, obviously the citizenry who were at the meeting is that, you know, take it now because otherwise you're not going to have enough money to use a project because the cost of maturity has to come from somewhere else. We'll shut the project down.
I would just want to have us avoid the situation of getting everybody on Palm Island mad at us because we're trying to do our job.
Mm-hmm.
The beach nourishment didn't do all that well. And the Corps of Engineers did not, when they appeared before us, doesn't have a lot of faith in them in this particular thing.
We'll get more information from them.
Yeah.
I mean, they just found out they've got the money. They're just putting together the plans,
yeah.
and the whole process is going to be something that is in development through the rest of the winter. So,
and of course, the harbor master didn't want construction for two reasons. Didn't want it to happen during the boarding season because the size of the bottoms would, in essence, create a navigational nightmare in the mouth of the river, and the southern side of the jetty has got too many bars such that you couldn't get a barge in there to build, facilitate constructing the jetty from there anyway. So that was a no-win scenario there either.
The thing that I don't think anybody has considered out there is that everybody's saying the fact that the jetty is in disrepair is because there's erosion occurring down along the coast. But it's same time, hasn't there been a lot of accretion right there by the jetties? Which,
yeah,
if you change the flow, isn't there going to be erosion there? That,
sure.
Nobody's done that study. That, okay, we're fixing one problem 2 miles down the beach, but we're going to create another one right there.
It wasn't part of the money. I think part of the money is to do a study like that.
When are they going
to
do that?
After the fact.
After the fact.
Yeah, I don't know when it's going to happen.
The only comment I would have at this point about the stockpiling issue, which is, I guess, what we've really been talking about, is I think before they come in with something, I think we ought to put out the word that we want some alternatives, this planning or alternative thought, so that it isn't just this is what it is.
Show us the alternative. Show us your alternatives that you've looked at.
Our last experience with the Corps was they really hadn't considered any alternatives, and it turned out
they ended up doing what
we suggested. So,
which would have
prevented
the appearing before us.
That's right.
That's a good point.
It wasn't,
we should see all the alternatives that they've looked at.
At least know they've done some alternatives plan.
Right.
Or thinking.
Absolutely.
If that's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, and I would think that if they want to start bringing those crops in the summer, the sooner we get notice, the better. If they have to break in two projects, so be it.
Okay.
One for bringing the rocks in, another for.
I mean, given the sensitivity of the Plum Island situation, we really don't want to. This can't be an 11th hour thing.
Right.
You know,
we don't want to feel like you're being rushed and
forced into doing something
because
with
the timing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You know, what's going to happen to the parking lot when if they're leaving these massive stones in there all summer long?
There won't be as many parking spaces.
No, I'm just thinking as far as the physical area of the parking lot. These stones are probably going to destroy it.
I wonder if that's in the budget.
Yeah, exactly.
I doubt that's in the budget, preparing the parking lot.
Or the roads. Those are not heavy-duty roads.
I haven't seen those
rocks.
They're pretty big, right?
Yeah.
They're a variety of sizes. They have to be in order to build the thing.
I think a lot of things want to wait until we see the notes. So, we just have to look at them sooner than later.
I think
you
can price out the dune restoration and all the other issues that might occur with the road and the pavement and the parking lot with getting a barge with a crane and trying to do it from the water.
Well, I thought that was the plan originally when I heard about the project, a year or so ago, but what I understand is that the timing of when the rock is scheduled to be removed does not coincide with the construction schedule to avoid the sensitive habitat and to avoid navigation issues. Definitely going to work out. So above the rock, if the rock from here is going to be used for the project, has to be removed from the Seabrook site prior to construction is ready to commence.
Okay. Well, why don't we get into the regular meeting now? And first one, you're up, Steve.
I'm recusing myself.
Enforcement violations for the land landfill inventories.
Should I sit somewhere or just
You can sit right there in the front row. Yeah, that's fine.
Chip and I are representing Adventures. Thank you for putting me early this evening. This is in response to enforcement order that was issued earlier this year with respect to the southwest corner at the landfill. And where we are right now is, as you know, we put on the Roman's seat on the FML fairly late in the year as a result of a number of reasons, but we elected to put it on at that time. We've had problems with that southwest corner in terms of water coming down, so the first thing that we tried to do was preventative, which is we put on some Flex Terra, which we thought would stabilize the face. I think that's helped to a degree, and I think really the only problem we have is in that southwest corner. The second is try to react to the erosion right near the berm and then down further as you get down by that old monitoring well. I didn't bring any pictures with me because I think everybody knows the area that I'm talking about. We've gone through a couple of iterations, and now we have probably three or four tiers of hay bales down there. We considered swaddles and a couple of others, but given that slope, we really thought that the hay bales would be the most sturdy to stake in down there. And then we have a little settling area. And then the third part of the plan will obviously be restoration. When spring comes along, we've got some sediment that's down in that area that's going to have to be removed. As I think you know, River Environmental Services has been retained, and they're working with us. So we've come in with a plan for removal of that sediment out of the wetland. I presume it will be by hand or a very small machine, depending on what the recommendations are. Ultimately, we're also looking at what we're going to have to do with that little drainage on the face as to whether or not we need a letdown. If you've seen the letdown, if you've been up there, you see the letdown channels which bring the water down the face and then deposit in the berm. And we may have to reorient one of those over on that side to handle that. But that's something that's going to be, that will be designed and we'll be doing in the spring. So we've finished in terms of bringing materials up there, except for the access road. The only other materials that we'll be bringing up there will be obviously to patch up the washout on the face, and then to remove the materials down in the corner where all that activity is now.
There is erosion if you go around. If you're in the southwest corner and you proceed around with the burn road, there is more erosion in several places.
There's a couple of spots over there, yes, you're right.
And there's also evidence, I mean, there is wetlands being filled in several areas along there. I think I have Julia mailed you the pictures.
Yes, yeah. And again, in order to, it's tough to patch that at this point in time. We've tried three or four times, as I think you're aware of, from the end of the fall through the beginning of the winter, and it's still washed out. That's why I think there may have to be an infrastructure response, which is to fix the way that's draining down, as well as to handle the washout. But we're comfortable that, I mean, it's held in the other portions of the landfill, so we're comfortable that we'll be able to take care of that in the spring.
But would Rimmer also be addressing the other areas?
Yes, when I talk about, I'm not isolating, there seems to be far more sediment down the southwest than as I bend around, but no, we're not going to exclude it. It would cover all the washout areas and wherever the sediment traveled.
Would you be able to put all that in writing for us so we can put it in the file with the enforcement order so that we'll know that this is going to happen in the spring?
Yeah, I could put a layout just the way that we did the preventative and the response, and then what
you're going to be proposing in the spring, by whom, and all that. Right. Yeah.
And initially, I thought when we did the initial reaction that we could rescind the enforcement order, but after I've taken a couple of views up there, I mean, our view is that we should keep that open until that's ultimately resolved. And I know that's no surprise to you, but one of my initial reactions was after we put the hay bales down, I thought that everything was taken care of, but then when I took a visit out there, I saw that we had some issues. So we're not asking that it be rescinded.
Okay.
So I just want to get clear, Chip, in addition to patching the eroded parts, getting the grass growing, maybe redoing some of the drainage channels?
Well, the problem that we have is that we have these letdown channels that take the water off of the FML, because as you know, before the FML was on, it was pervious, so your water would just go through. Now, it's sort of like a field decision in terms of how do we direct those to a part of the berm that's not going to cause a washout. And we've been successful in all, I believe, in all of the landfill, except for the southwest, and as Steve indicated, of one section as we get around the corner. So I think it's a design issue.
Is it steeper there, maybe? Or?
No, I think it's all, I'm not sure. I mean, there's an underground spring around there. I think there are all sorts of things that...
I was wondering, having looked at it, is there something going on the top? It's hard to see up there above where those channels are coming down off the cap, but what's happening on top of
it? There's nothing. I mean, that's
it's fine up there,
so
okay.
There's nothing,
all right.
Nothing that's going on, but okay. I don't know if...
I was wondering if it was maybe pooling in certain areas.
That's all we can think of, or somehow it's intercepting this. But for some reason, we've had a problem with that southwest corner from the beginning of this of this coalition.
Well, I wonder if it's possible, you come in with those plans, which we're going to be doing in the spring, that you include something, say it was a misdesign, what that this design was, so that we'll know why this new one worked.
Yeah, I don't think we ever get our engineer to say it was a misdesign.
Oh, no, you won't.
It's one of those field changes that you have to make adjustments.
No, I understand that. Right. But for me, anyway, I'd like to know what did work the way everybody thought it would work. Yeah. And how this new way will.
Yeah. I think the washout is a function of time, that we were late in the season, so it didn't get to stabilize. So we're hoping that once spring gets there, we've got some dry weather, and it gets a chance to hold, that will be helpful. But on the other hand, we need to take a look at where that water's coming down. So.
We'd like to do a little more than hope.
Yeah, well, right.
Could you include in the sort of written plan the estimated time frame for all of these actions, just so we'll know sort of around when we should be planning to see things happening out there or be getting information from you about it?
Yeah, we thought it was going to be much later in the season, but obviously, as everybody knows what this winter has done, if it may be earlier rather than later. We're also hoping that the department's going to improve the restoration replication, and so we can do some of those things at the same time, have the same people out there.
Okay.
But I can give you a good ballpark.
Okay, that would be great.
What I'm going to do is twofold. I'm going to give you a summary of what I told you this evening, and I'll give you a date that we would send, give you a plan, and then we'll come in with a plan at that later time, if that's okay with you.
Sounds good.
Another issue I'm not sure was mentioned in the enforcement order was that pipe that comes all the way from the detention basin down to the other little basin there. So
coming from down the Crow Lane.
Okay. It's my understanding that pipe is supposed to be an overflow from that basin, and yet there's always water flowing out of it with a sulfur odor to it. If it's supposed to be an overflow from that basin, there shouldn't be any water in it now.
Yeah, my understanding of the way that pipe is supposed to work is that we want to have the water balance to go some to the southwest corner because the wetland, as well as some to the east. And so we had to reorient, so that's supposed to take water from the face and send it to the southwest. It's not, I don't understand that to be solely as a an outlet for the detention basin. I will verify that, but we had long conversations with this commission as to how they were going to separate the drainage, because the easiest way would have been to send it all to the east, which was over where the flare is, but that didn't make sense from the current water balance or the existing conditions. So that pipe was intended to actually catch water, I believe, and to bring it back to the southwest. That's how I understand it. But I can...
And is that sulfur smelling?
I've been there twice. I didn't say anything about what was in that landfill. But I've been there twice, and I haven't smelled any sulfur out of it. You've walked there. So.
It's very faint. It's not like it used to be.
It's what?
It's not like it used to be. it's pretty nice, but it still is. You know, it's kind of a nasty color.
Was it an iron? Is it the iron color? No, I mean, that's a natural. Now, I know that early on, because of the perched water, when we first did the work on that detention basin one, which is the second one, I know that there were issues with that, but I thought that those had been pretty well flushed out, so hopefully that's what's taking place. I know you don't really say hope, but I think that's what's taking place.
What can we have in the dark side in that?
I can ask. I can confirm that that's what that is, right. That it's not an overflow.
Yeah, and I confirm that the odd color and things and all whatever.
Yeah, the odd color. I think it's the iron that I've seen around. I mean, the first time I visited this length, I found there was iron all the way around the perimeter. I assume that that's what you're talking about.
But that water is also flowing out of that little basin right down Crow Lane, which that never used to happen. There was never water flowing down Crow Lane into the river. It may have been going, you know, off to the wetlands, but it wasn't flowing directly down Crow Lane.
Yeah, the way it was coming down is it was coming down almost as groundwater. It was going under the landfill within and then coming out. And that's what we're trying to replicate, because once you put the top on, that's not coming. So that's why it's more of a surface water discharge, which is, I believe that's what was intended as part of the, it's capturing the same rainfall, except it's overland now rather than going through the landfill coming out underneath. I'll try to get you that within a week, so you'll have that report, and then we'll be back to you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for putting me on early.
Okay, next item on the agenda is a motion.
Move to recess the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Whittier Bridge Project.
That we were going to come back and bring forward with you guys. So to sort of catch up between the last meeting and now, the peer reviewer, Chase Bachman, Thorndike, provided concurrence on the comments and how they were addressed. That concurrence, I believe, shares with you folks. So that was something that we talked about at the last meeting. It was talked about providing you a revised set of notice of intent plans and stormwater report plans. And Steve Curl from Techno-Uzo is here tonight. He has a couple copies of that information that he can hand off to you folks. In addition to that, since the meeting, Julia had made note of some discrepancies in some of the riverfront area numbers that Sarah Allen from Normando is here tonight to talk a little bit about that and provide a revised table that shows those corrections. But the main thing, I think, was the reason why we continued the meeting till tonight, in which, you know, we're going to request to close, was that we wanted to get some time to take the set of kind of standard conditions that the city of Newburyport uses for water conditions and put them in a format that reflects the project-specific conditions, and then provide you folks with a draft. It's something that's been evolving quite a bit, and, you know, as of up to 3 to 4 hours ago, these have been changing. So I have some copies, some hard copies that we can email you this version tomorrow. Email to Julia. We do acknowledge that there's one of the requests of John Eric White with regard to sort of an atlas mapping for the outfalls that would be beneficial for first responders in case of an accident. That language isn't in here that we're at, but we just made note of that while looking at it. And in addition to that, MassDOT's position hasn't changed on the salt marsh impacts that might have resulted from shading from the new bridge location that the commission had expressed in the past. We still believe that our shading study and the concurrence from DEP stands as our opinion on the matter. So these conditions that we're going to share with you don't include conditions that would specifically speak to monitoring locations of salt marsh under the new bridge alignment. So we pass these out, and you can take a look at these, and we'll email them to you. And when you're ready, Sarah can talk a little bit about the new table of impacts in the front area. As I mentioned earlier, Steve Corvo has revised set of plans, two sets for the notice of intent and the stormwater report. So, this way.
Ask a question, Robert. Did you work on these in conjunction with Salisbury and Amesbury's draft conditions, or this is just for Newburyport?
This, as we mentioned to you before, our intention was to have one set for each community. Mm-hmm. We did get sort of the boilerplate conditions that Salisbury uses. Mm-hmm. So they are reflective of some of theirs. We didn't get a list of conditions that Amesbury typically uses. We are meeting with them tomorrow, actually, at a special meeting with the Conservation Commission during the day to go over their outstanding concerns as well as talking about the water conditions.
Okay.
Yeah. Just clarify that the special conditions for each town are included in there, but the kind of boilerplate more general ones more than we standardized across the three towns, but all we gave you included particular ones that come up from discussion with the report and that were suggested by the
Yeah, conditions 20 through 46 are corridor-wide conditions.
Are corridor-wide conditions.
That apply to each town. And then condition 47 and down are specific to the report.
Okay.
That's not to say that some of the conditions that apply specifically to the airport wouldn't apply to another town. For instance, the river area, conditions will also apply to the airport.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, obviously we have to look at these. Which number, 53?
No, 33.
33? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just kind of wondering if I mean, this is such a large project. Would there be any need to have more than one pre-construction meeting? I mean, we may start on phase one and not really have all of the construction details laid out for phases two and three.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe prior to each phase of construction?
Yeah.
In Newburyport?
It gives you guys room to do what you think is over.
As far as how the major pieces are going to commence in each town, maybe Mike Burrow can speak to that a little bit, but he feels that there's going to be sort of different stages of construction and everything that would require sort of individual sort of reconstruction and everything like that. The job as a whole.
I think that, the job as a whole, and actually, to a certain degree, the job, the southern half of the job from basically exit 58 down is staged in one way in terms of the new highway is built to the east and an existing bridge, and there's a transition section back in from Route 110 bridges or exit 58 north. All of that work is within the median, so there are basically two different types of staging going on. It's kind of like a pivot point on the whole project. The good thing about that is basically everything in the north is just Salisbury. Everything else between that point and down is Amesbury and Newburyport. And as they work in those stages, the stages are really it's really driven by what's required to build the first bridge, which basically is the development to the east when the project shifts to the eastern edge of the alignment. That's when most of the land disturbance, the trees, most of the riverfront is disturbed for the first time in those areas. Second phase is simply the demolition phase of the existing structure, and then the riverfront is impacted again as the abutments move back 50 foot for the stage of the rebuilding. The rebuilding of the southbound side for Newburyport is really just a the southbound is a widening to the median. We actually hold the western edge of the southbound alignment, so that widening is all in the median area. Really from a staging standpoint, the one staging which really has, I think, a lot of direct impact what's going on is really the first stage, which is probably build the first bridge, the demolition. After that, the building structure for the abutments and the remainder. I think the contractor could come in with a single overview staging plan and really address it all.
I think one of the things to keep in mind with the design build on this project, there's not going to be any stages or very minimal stages that will occur in one town that's not going to impact another town. It's going to be pretty much quarter-wide stages. At least the major shifts, there'll be small stages, like, for example, the Pineville Bridge, or at Evans Place, or at the Route 110 Bridge, there'll be some smaller phases. As part of the design build for this project, we're going to have extensive public outreach. We're committing to a minimum quarterly meetings with the public. It's most likely going to be some form of communication on a monthly basis or whenever there's a change in the construction, whether it's access or what they're occupying or how traffic's going to shift. So there's going to be a lot of public outreach on this. Maybe not directly with the Concoms, for each individual Concom, but publicly, it's going to be well advertised. So all of you are going to know, along with the public, what's happening at any given time.
That's sort of what I was thinking, is that instead of saying that we need to have a couple different pre-construction meetings, normally in big projects like this, they'll be what you're talking about, which is regular, monthly, or whatever, meetings to provide information to the public or to all the interested parties and stakeholders, the towns involved and different agencies, the public safety and traffic and whatever. And I would think that we should be included in that. And in that way, we will always know where they're at in the schedule, what's coming next. And just so we can be kept apprised, and if we have input at any given stage, then we'll be able to provide it appropriately.
And if there's something specific that we need to be on, you know, we'll be happy to do that. I mean, the elected officials are going to be briefed on a regular basis for all the towns anyway. So it's not something additional that we would be doing.
Right. Yeah. Is that something that that hasn't been mentioned before specifically, maybe because we don't have any contractor work plan or anything yet, and you haven't reached that point, but that's something that I think we would like to have either in writing or as part of the order of conditions, that there will be monthly or whatever periodic progress meetings on a regular basis that the commission will be invited to, included in, whatever, informed of that.
We'll include detailed language in the request for proposals once we start drafting that. That's essentially going to be the specifications for the design build entities to bid on and compete against. Mm-hmm. So we'll have specific language. I don't know that language is going to be drafted. It won't be. I can tell you it won't be drafted before the orders of conditions. However, the order of conditions will be made part of the RFP. It will be referenced. I just want to make sure that we don't have anything that's going to conflict with what we're committing to in the RFP and what we've committed to publicly already. Mm-hmm. So we can look through the environmental documents that we have, and we can try to find out what we're going to commit to publicly to do. At a minimum, it's going to be monthly, is my guess.
Right.
And we'll put that in the contract.
Okay.
You didn't say monthly or quarterly, though.
Well, I think we said quarterly, but realistically, I think it's going to be a monthly or a project of this size.
Yeah, I would think it would be monthly.
There's just too many things that are going to be going on. Well, I take that back. In the beginning, they may be just setting up and working in the water for a year, so there may be nothing to talk about. That's why I think we're saying quarterly, or whenever there's a shift in traffic or something that the public needs to know to change.
We did not include in the environmental documents any particular frequency of contact with the municipalities.
I'd like to see something like that. I mean, I'd like to know that that's going to happen in terms of having something in writing about that.
Okay, when we submit the document tomorrow, maybe we can add something in relative to meeting.
That would be great.
With the public at a minimum quarterly or more often.
Or monthly as necessary, that kind of thing.
Okay. And Julie, what we do have in condition number 40, environmental monitoring, is four paragraphs in the fourth paragraph.
Yeah.
Speaks to monthly reporting that the environmental monitors will be submitting to MassDOT.
Yeah.
And MassDOT will subsequently provide that to the commission.
Yeah.
Within those reports, it's going to speak to all construction that has been completed over the course of that month.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to erosion, resource area protection. But it'll also speak to the anticipated work for the next reporting period, which is monthly.
Yep.
So basically, each month you'll receive a report that states what we expect is going to occur in the course of the next month. What we also have in here is condition 29 that gives the commission the right to access the work area, provided the commission or the agent coordinate with the appropriate MassDOT personnel, the resident engineer. Because there's certain safety protocols that need to be abided by. So, you know, based on the reports that you receive, if you feel that you want to access the site, you know, you coordinate with the MassDOT representatives, you know, and that meeting can be set up. What we do plan on doing is sending a letter to each town, letting the mayors know about our safety and access protocols. And we're basically going to be asking for a response from each town stating that our commission is an authorized agent to abide by our safety protocols when accessing the DOT right away.
So it sounds like some of the concerns are already addressed in the orders.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, we will have requirements for public outreach. So it's going to be a lot more than what's just written in. The contract is going to be required to do on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we leave it the way it is for now, and you can read it and let us know if we need to add anything to it.
Okay, well, I just raised the question because our condition 33 pre-construction says that there'll be a meeting with the commission or designated representatives no less than 72 hours prior to commencement of construction. In this case, any work. Commencement of construction includes any site clearing or grading, and to inspect erosion controls and review all conditions of this order.
see that. I don't see that condition in this one.
And I was going to, you might want to have multiple.
Right, being a design build, you're going to need to have multiple.
Yeah, just
the pre-construction meeting. Yeah, written, they've got written notice of the pre-construction meeting. Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's in here. They've got that in here. Oh, they've got 96 hours for written notice and then a pre-construction meeting. But, yeah.
We're going to revise it.
We have to revise it.
During different phases, we'll update that to reflect the design build project.
Yeah, that sounds like a good.
Any other questions at this point?
Just wondering, yes, you're interested in hearing Sarah Allen just talk a little bit about the discrepancies that we picked up.
Yeah.
Julia emailed us earlier today asking for an explanation of some of the numbers in the riverfront area table, and she was correct that when we went back to it, there were some numbers that did not add up. So we revised the table. And,
well, that's
we not only changed the numbers, we modified the format.
Is this what you emailed to us, Julia?
No, this is something different. I was going through what I sent to you, which was what they sent to us. I was going through their revised table and adding things up, and the numbers weren't working.
And
so
they just weren't adding.
Yeah.
So you'll notice that we've inserted one more row at the top of the table to show you how we got our totals. Should make that part a little bit clearer. And there was one number that hadn't been updated, so we made those revisions. And it has a ripple effect, so as you go through, as numbers change in the top colored portion, it ripples down through the mitigation and calculations, which are in the lower half of the table. So hopefully that's clear. If you still have questions, feel free to give me a call.
I guess I do have one question right now, though, that you... I could let you know, because for the order of conditions, we need to have a figure for amount of impact within 100 feet,
yes,
and then between 100 and 200.
Yeah.
And since the numbers have changed slightly, or have they?
The numbers haven't changed.
Haven't changed in total. Okay.
It's just when we did the update, we didn't carry all the numbers through.
Okay.
So the figure has not changed.
All right.
But we have not. We still need to break it out by 100, 200 foot zone.
All right.
To update the NOI.
Okay, good. That's as long as you can get me those numbers. Then
yeah,
okay,
it'll be a few days before we get
okay.
those. But
okay.
And this is carrying through with what John was saying. We will be providing you with an updated NOI application because you will need those numbers, and they'll be in the NOI.
All right.
As well as the supplemental material.
All right. All right. Sounds good.
Just one little thing. Maybe I misheard in the word figure something in the facts. You mentioned something about Mass DOT's policy about the salt marsh restoration. Could you repeat that? I'm not sure I got it.
Yeah, I think, the last meeting and the prior meetings, there was some discussion from the commission with regard to the findings of the Shady study that was conducted, as well as DEP's concurrence on the findings of the Shady study. And the Shady study stated that with the new bridge project and the bridge in its new location and the shading that it will cast on resources on the lake, specifically salt marsh, our shading analysis that we did, and as I mentioned before, these findings on that there would be an impact per the regulations in regard to what constitutes a salt marsh impact. The commission had expressed their disagreement with those findings and suggested that we considering, and you know, tonight I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, it's still MassDOT's opinion that, you know, our shading analysis was, you know, was fully supported. The correct rationale combined with DEP's concurrence, you know, we feel that there isn't going to be an impact to the salt marsh that is existing out there. As such, conditions to monitor that post-construction or construction weren't needed, and therefore part of, you know, these conditions that we wanted to do.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought of. I hear you say. And I just bring that up because our condition number 53 does reflect a monitoring on the salt marsh. So, you know, we have to rectify that before we talk about it.
It's up to you all.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever conducted an analysis of anything, pick anything, and whether the end results do not concur with your previous, your model, or your model set to come out?
You know, I typically kind of speak hypothetically, but it's always the, you know, I know you guys are ever vigilant, but that's just from coordinating with you guys as being a conservation commission, being concerned with the resources out there, and if something, you know, were to happen after construction, whether it's this project or any project, I know, you know, there's, you know, the Department of Environmental Protection is always, interested in matters such as that, and MassDOT isn't going anywhere either, as far as a presence in the state. So,
I guess my contention is with the salt shading study, if you don't go out there this summer and determine what's there, how are we going to be able to judge at some point later in time did change or it didn't change?
And how are we going to know what caused the change?
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is that I think we all agree that it's not exact science. We do a shading analysis. We did one. DEP commented on it extensively, and we met with them extensively to go over it. They made us redo it. We redid it. It's extremely conservative, as I mentioned the last time. It's fully in compliance with the Wetlands Protection Act. DEP has concurred with it. So for us to put an order of conditions in that's contrary to what DEP has already ruled on is totally contrary to what they do. So it's not something that we're willing to entertain in the OCCs for this project. I wrote a letter to the mayor from my boss indicating our position and the potential impacts that it could have on the schedule for this project. It's one thing that we're not willing to accept for this project. So we ask that you really think about and look at the ruling that's been made by DEP. They've reviewed it. They're the experts. I'm not the expert. There's plenty of experts around in this room, our environmental team, and our consultant. So a lot of eyes have looked at this. And as John mentioned, we're not going away. We're still going to be here.
What would the potential impacts on the schedule for the project be to include a monitoring?
It's something that if it gets elevated above my level and the department decides to appeal it to DEP, it could delay the project 4 to 6 months.
Who would appeal it? Your department?
It's possible. I'm not saying we would, but it is an option. It's not a decision that I would make.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Is there something specific about the report or the analysis that you disagree with that maybe we could talk about or that we could provide? If you provide us something written or had the peer review team look at it, that we could provide something back to you that would make you feel more comfortable?
I don't know if I'm the only one. These are this, but
is there something specific that we're not complying with under the Wetlands Protection Act? I guess is what I'm trying to get a handle on, and I think what Jess is referring to is, if there is, tell us what it is, and we'll sit down and try to get you an answer.
The study that I envision happening would be somebody goes out there once a year for an afternoon and looks at a plot of the salt marsh underneath the bridge, and they look at a plot that is not affected by the shading. And just go out there this summer, establish what's there, and you do it for 3 or 4 more years, however long the construction does, if there's no change, everybody's happy. It's one afternoon.
The problem is the study that you're envisioning is in conflict with what DEP is requiring of us. We've done the studies that are required under DEP. They've concurred with it. So for us to now impose restrictions on us, additional restrictions, contrary to what they've already said, is not going to have an impact. It sets a precedent for all our projects, and that's not something we're willing to do.
And specifically, I believe that there will be an effect of the shading on the salt marsh. The scientific articles that you used in your study specifically say Spartina alternifera is drastically affected by shading.
And what I'm asking you is, you believe that, and what is the basis for that belief? If you can tell us, we'd sit down with you and try to explain it to you, walk you through it. We'll have additional meetings as necessary with the entire CONCOM agents to try to explain why there isn't. We'll bring in the experts. We have them here today, and we'll bring in more if we need to. But we need to know what it is. What parts of the shading analysis do you feel are faulty?
I guess it's the overall conclusion that there won't be any effect on the salt.
That overall conclusion was done by the experts that put it together and was concurred to by DEP. They're the experts. I'm not the expert.
You know what? Can I just interrupt? With all due respect, it's the commission's right to disagree with information that's presented.
That's fine.
It is. The burden of proof is on the applicant to show the commission that something is or is not going to be protected or in terms of the performance standards. Steve and I believe other members of the commission are concerned that whether they agree with DEP or not, they're not asking you to replace salt marsh that they believe is going to be damaged. They're asking you to monitor the existing healthy salt marsh. That's it.
What I'm asking though is, what are your concerns? Tell us what it is that you don't. What do you think is going to cause this salt marsh degradation?
I think
we can try to explain it better to the conservation.
I think you've explained it to the point that you can explain it. I think what there is there's still remaining concern that explanation doesn't provide the level of assurance that they would like about no impact on the salt marsh. And so in order to take away some of that concern, they would like to see that salt marsh area monitored. I think that's what it comes down to.
I think one of the problems that we have, Jim Spong asking the team of environmental service major projects, is that everything here at the ComCom appears to be directed towards the effects of shading of the neighborhood structure, but there are also localized natural conditions that could affect what's there currently for the salt marsh species. And what DEP has said all along and what we've said all along is that there will be no loss to the functions and values of the salt marsh from the shading. There may be a change in salt marsh species, but there will be no effects to the functions and values of the salt marsh. Therefore, the salt marsh will not be adversely impacted by shading from the new bridge structure. And that really is the only thing we need to be concerned about. And that's really the only thing that could create an impact on the minds of the DEP. It should be the only concern of the Conservation Commission, in my opinion.
I think that is the only concern of the Conservation Commission. I don't think that, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that you care as much about whether Spartina alternifera is lost as that the salt marsh itself is not lost.
If nothing replaces the Spartina alternifera, and there aren't that many species of plants that grow in that same environment.
Right, but
the lower salt marsh is basically, if you look in any salt marsh in New England, it's Spartina alternifera. There's nothing else growing. So if you lose it, what's going to replace it?
Right. Well, one thing that you can see quite clearly is if you look at the banks of Newburyport on the Merrimack River versus the banks of Amesbury. Amesbury is what we used as our baseline for our model. And they're clearly, regardless of what the report has stated from the release that occurred in 2009, they're clearly adverse impacts in the gasoline spill. much looks happening today like it did prior to the release. So there are other conditions that are occurring there, and for us to be held accountable for potential future impacts of that salt marsh that potentially were the result of contamination, which clearly impacted that area. And speaking as someone who has 20 years of experience from hazardous waste site investigation and remediation, there are clearly some flaws in the risk assessment completed by the consultant on that project. That's just my opinion. So it's difficult for us to hold responsibility for future improvement of that salt marsh. We can say that the salt marsh will not be impacted by shade, but we can't be held accountable for future success in that existing salt marsh because it was heavily contaminated with dust.
We received some pictures from somebody.
I've seen the pictures. They were taken from quite a convenient angle, east of the bridge, not near the impacted area, but in the area easterly, the most easterly portion of salt marsh.
Well, they took the pictures.
Which they tried to describe as being a lush, vibrant, robust salt marsh.
Okay, well, you're disputing a report that came in from a reputable environmental monitoring consultant agency, and then you want us to believe what your consultants say. So, I mean, you can't play both sides like that on this. The pictures of the salt marsh were the pictures of the salt marsh that we're talking about. From multiple angles, actually. So I don't think we should even get into the discussion about the oil spill impacts to the salt marsh. I think the commission needs to decide whether or not they feel comfortable with your data and your analysis and DEP's.
You have to keep in mind, our analysis is clearly based on shading. Those are the only impacts this project is going to have on salt marsh. Shading impacts. And you're disputing our shading analysis. So we want to know what is the specific reason.
I don't even think that the commission is disputing the shading analysis. I think they're trying to do their due diligence in making sure that that what you're stating about the shading is going to be the case.
But how do you know that future impacts to the salt marsh aren't the result of something other than shading?
If there's another oil spill, we'll know about it. I don't want to get in there.
I have to say that on this one, I tend to agree with the applicant. They've done their due diligence. DPP has bought into it. And as I say, if something goes awry with the existing good salt marsh, will we know if it's due to shading or change in the outfall or extreme flooding? It seems to me to be an unfair burden for a project that we know is going to happen. I mean, you got to have a bridge. Either that ends to air service. Anyway, that's just my opinion. And I feel a little bad I brought this up, but I did it specifically because it's better we find out now than in a couple of weeks.
Well, whatever the case, I think we have all the information we're going to get tonight on it, as far as the hearing.
Well, that's...
There may be still issues for us to wrestle with as a commission, but that's for us to wrestle with.
Okay, so there's nothing more, no matter what, that we want from the applicant.
Not on that issue. Is there something you want from on that issue?
No.
I just have one comment, and I'd like to ask you about it. I feel like the release that occurred earlier, it's not going to get any worse out there. If anything, there's going to be attenuation from that particular release. Do you agree with that statement?
I really can't comment on that statement because I felt like the amount of sampling that was conducted was very limited, and what they presented in their report as regrowth of salt marsh to me was with very limited data to suggest that there's so much you're going to improve. One would think that over time, dilution and the rising tides and the flushing from the Merrimack River alone, well, over time, that salt marsh should regenerate. That is why, you know, we had proposed as an enhancement in between those two areas to add, you know, clean gravel, some plugs. But we didn't want to, we didn't feel like we should be committed to the success of that salt marsh, because we're not the reason why that salt marsh is dead right now.
So
your concern about the monitoring that has been proposed is that you run the risk, if you agree to that, can I just finish,
please?
You run the risk of being blamed for something that isn't your fault.
Exactly.
And I think to add to that is, I don't think anybody in here can definitively point, God forbid anything happens to salt marsh, whether it's ice or other flows or the outfall or shade, we can all sit and argue, you know, 4 years from now, and nobody's going to know definitively what caused that salt marsh to degrade, if it degrades at all. What we have to go on is our salt marsh analysis, which was conservative and has been concurred with by the EP. That's what we're required to do. Like this gentleman said, it just feels like an unfair burden on MassDOT to take something on that we don't feel our project is impacted. And to add to that, we're already putting in 1,300 square feet of salt marsh as a goodwill gesture to try to get it to come back. So we just feel like we're being put, you know, this unfair burden is being put on us to do things that we shouldn't be required to do, when in fact we've been trying to work to appease the commission by providing this extra salt marsh. And, you know, the environmental monitoring we're going to be doing as part of the project, that's already there. We've got some environmental monitoring, not specifically to salt marsh, but we are going to be monitoring out there. So,
and it will include the salt marsh.
Yeah. The salt marsh will have to be clearly delineated for the subcontractors so that they don't impact.
So in essence, it is going to be marked. It's just not going to be specifically for that. But there's going to be an environmental monitor on the project anyway, and there's going to be monthly reports. So it's not like anyone's trying to hide it.
Yeah.
We're all trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I would think that if we were to insist on this monitoring, that would imply that if at some failure level that we would have other requirements. And I haven't heard any of those talked about, so I'm not sure. I mean, it certainly would be interesting intellectually to know what happened, but I don't feel like I have the right to ask us all as taxpayers to do that.
I guess my main concern with the monitoring was centered around the salt marsh you were going to put in where that outfall came from. And I guess from a taxpayer standpoint, that's going to be put in, 1,300 square feet is going to get put in, and I want it to survive.
Well, we have a standard warranty. I believe it's just, if I'm wrong, it's 2 years on the replication.
From the team,
the design build team will be required. And I don't know enough about salt marsh, but I'm thinking if you plant something and it makes it through a couple of seasons, chances are good that it's going to survive. I mean, we're going to be out there at least 4 years, so if it's one of the things that gets done early on, which I suspect it will be, I don't know for that for sure until they send us, you know, give us the staging plans, but once it goes in, there's going to be enough time to monitor it to see if there's any success and still be able to correct it during construction. We're going to be out there for quite a while, so I don't think it's something we put it in, ignore it, and walk away, especially when there's an environmental monitor there during the evaluation anyway. And there will be requirements by the DVN to ensure that a minimum 2-year warranty on it, which is us saying.
What was that? 2 years, sorry?
It's a 2-year.
Mm-hmm.
General landscaping, I think, is 1 year. Any type of replication, even though this isn't considered mitigation, we would still require the the DB entity to warranty for 2 year period. So they'll be out there during the warranty period.
Anything else? Do I hear a motion?
Do you have anything? Submit those plans, just the compilation.
So what we did was, because all the plans, basically, within each town, we revised sheets specific to comics. They kind of, they were piecemealed into each town at different points in time. So what we have there is a fully compiled set as of today with all the revisions to date. The stormwater management plans, the NOI plans.
Okay.
And I actually highlighted on the cover page of each set which one's a specific delivery point. So that what we were envisioning is of the 40 sheets, there's 13 or 14 specific to Newbury Port, a couple of them overlap,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the Bridge to Amesbury, but the, in order to reference each sheet and specifically the revision date to that sheet, and if there was a revision date, it was just part of the original submission,
mm-hmm.
which would have been December 1st for the NOI plans and then 11/16 for the stormwater plans.
Okay. Will these be stamped? Should they be stamped?
We can stamp them if you'd like.
And
yeah.
Signed? It's just that requests that we need to enter that information who was stamped and signed by.
Okay, that's fine. Those ones aren't, so I'll
Okay.
Here's what we thought was, let us know how many number of copies you need, full size, half size, and if they're all to be stamped, you can give them for the record if you stamp versions. And also what we provided was, as part of the FEIR, DEP had commented a series of small water comments on the project. Some of the comments will kind of geared towards specific to what the Conservation Commission might want to see as part of the project. And what we want to do is make them available to the Conservation Commission in advance. In a sense, what it is some DEP comments pulled out of the FER as of today, put into a memo provided to the Conservation Commission, so you should have that now. And we're planning on giving that, it is received to each Conservation Commission, like mm-hmm. a trust comment.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just worth redoubling that, you know, Sarah said earlier, she's going to resubmit a new application, an NOI application. The plans are correct as they are, but the application
okay.
is...
Just some changes to the application, some edits to the... Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you revised complete plans, so
okay.
new records.
Okay.
Plan and application.
Okay.
Yeah, these could be available electronically, including the plans.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As far as, so for... back to the stamp subject.
Yeah.
Wet stamps. If you want to let us know exactly what the requirements would be.
Yeah, I mean, I can. I thought that I was under the impression that plans like this should be stamped by a professional engineer and signed before we are able to incorporate them into the permanent final record.
Okay.
And I think, you know, this is a fine size. Two copies is fine for the record.
Okay.
Steve, you can stamp that front sheet in the PDF, right? Because you just stamped the cover sheet?
That's what I mean. I can see I can stamp the cover.
No.
I don't know if you want every sheet stamped.
No, I don't think we need every sheet stamped.
Okay.
The covers would be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, where are you in your process with the other towns?
Meeting with Amesbury tomorrow.
Okay.
And sort of on a similar point here, we're going to discuss conditions pertinent to their town, go over any outstanding questions that they might have. They had some specific abutter questions that came up. So our hopes are tomorrow to close the hearing. And then Salisbury doesn't meet till the 13th, I believe, of March. Tried to meet last week, I believe, but just had some issues. So
Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out when 21 days from today is.
Yeah, in terms of what you've given us today, you've given us 20-some Carter-wide proposed conditions, right?
Right, but specific.
And then some specific new regulations. But the Carter-wide ones, have they been, they haven't been vetted by Amesbury yet?
No.
Or Salisbury?
No.
Okay, so all of this is kind of a moving target. It's hard to figure out as to how to make this all come together.
These are based on standards and OOCs that came from, was it a
Newburyport and Amesbury?
Right.
Sorry, Newburyport
and Salisbury.
Yeah.
We just received the Amesbury standard special conditions yesterday. So we're going to take a look through those. But we will be sending out these recommended lists of special conditions to the Amesbury and Salisbury, hopefully tomorrow.
So 21 days is, and this is calendar days, to the March 13th.
That brings us to March 13th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our next meeting's on the 6th.
So between now and 21 days, we have come up with our order conditions.
Well, basically, we're 14 days we're going to need to, because our next meeting is 14 days.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're pretty close. I think we need to review this, and we have a few more that I've drafted in response to John Eric's comments today, and so they're just minor things. I'm sure you've seen them.
Yeah.
So we can just kind of put all that together, email it back to you.
You know, the point of contact that you had with
Tim
Dexter.
Yep.
And
okay.
Yeah,
it's
a country advocacy.
Okay.
Yep. Appreciate that.
And then you will, again, go back through what Amesbury and Salisbury have and send us another draft.
Okay.
Is that what you're planning?
Yes, to try to get consistency between the two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Are you aiming for total consistency with the exception of the... Okay.
I mean, we just want to keep it so the intent is... total consistency would be great,
right?
For enforcement, but if we can keep the intent the same between the three,
and then at a certain point we go into Newburyport's more Newburyport specific,
yes.
And then there's Salisbury.
There are going to be three orders of conditions, right?
Correct.
Right. With standard or Carter wide, which should be entirely.
So each compound's order of conditions may have items, whatever, 1 through 40 may be identical, and then have these separate ones for each individual town.
So maybe what we'll do when going through this is, instead of, you know, changing some of the conditions that you have and saying, in fact, just have comments for you. If we have comments on any of them, then you can look at our comments, their comments, and, you know, if you need to redo a couple of them, then you can do it based on comments.
Okay, that'd be great.
So 2346 would be consistent?
As much as we can. Mm-hmm. As much as we can. I mean, we'll certainly incorporate all the comments to the best of our ability.
Right. Because the comments from the other two towns did help the other
town. Yeah. I think if they overall start off with, you know, where we're working with the other towns, with Amesbury tomorrow, we have two relatively minor butter issues. They actually, as we did come over here today, with determined they are more tied to existing condition questions about some maintenance issues with some drainage swales and whatnot. They're not impacts from the project, but so we believe there's some separate District 4 maintenance issues which are going to be addressed. But we have no other outstanding technical issues with Amesbury. Salisbury, we could have closed with them 2 meetings ago, but 2 meetings in a row that had quorum issues. They have one member that has to recuse himself. They've had a member's traveling and another member ill. And so hopefully on the 7th we'll close with them. And most of the issues with them are very much refined. First of all, we're doing all the widening and median, and so we have very few issues really to resolve with Salisbury from the get-go. So we're pretty much closed up with them also.
And when are you meeting with Amesbury again?
Tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
We have a morning meeting.
You guys want to do?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Any public comments?
Yes, there's no public.
No public.
That much I didn't know. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie, are you getting that electronically?
You're going to send me this electronically. Send it out to everybody.
The Springwell guy.
Yep.
So Sandman is on vacation this week, so I think that I would do a redraft.
Okay.
See our provisions that are
troublesome. Okay.
Well, we should probably motion to close the public hearing first.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Let's take a break. A little break.
I'm going to go check my email about the app.
This one will be 5 minutes.
I'm ready.
I don't want my head splattered on that back wall again. Let's get the official meeting back.
I'm sorry. Can I just ask one more question about
yes.
periodic meetings with about construction? Updates and whatnot, hopefully including agencies of import like
yeah.
the Conservation Commission. That will be part that will fall out of the winning bidder contract.
Well, that's what they're saying, that they would include that as a requirement of their contractor, which obviously they would have to if they're going to be requiring their contractor to be involved in public meetings and that kind of thing. But that doesn't require them to make those meetings public or at least include the Conservation Commission and other relevant municipal agencies
yeah.
in those
so
meetings.
We need our own
so
condition.
We have to have our mirror condition to that.
I think we should suggest to them some language for a condition like that and let them refine that to make it suitable for their...
And the monitor should be there too, obviously, or the Environmental Program Unit.
What's next?
What's next? Why don't you guys go back to your table discussion of the survey payment?
Yeah.
John
Eric sent me an email with a plan for the new compost facility. So he sort of misunderstood what we were asking for today. Andy and I asked him for this. He sent us the plan for the compost facility, which was based on a lot of the survey information for the city's property versus the landfill. But that's not exactly... We were looking for the original survey data, survey plan. So he said that he would call me tomorrow with that. Can't get in touch with him tonight. So.
So we agreed that we would receive those materials and whatever came out of the fall 2001 survey before we were going to agree as a commission to release payment from our coffers. Is that what we agreed to? We talked about it. We haven't agreed to it yet. Pardon me.
Well, I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. I think it stinks, to be honest with you. I feel like there's more to the story than just being shared. But if we're going to approve the expenditure, let's just approve the expenditure and not be funny about it. My feelings.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that we ought to find some way, though, not necessarily by delaying the approval for no reason, but we ought to find some way to indicate how we think it should have been handled or how we think it wasn't handled the way we would like to see it handled. I'm not sure what that exactly would be, a letter or some sort of communication.
Well, I give my 3-year-old a warning and I say, if you do this again, then there are the consequences.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, you could say.
I feel like we're kind of being treated as if
the conservation fund is part of the city budget. I mean, you know, it's just available.
You could say something like, if prior notice or request for use of funds prior to a project being completed doesn't happen next time, that the commission will
deny
use of funds.
It'll be in the same book we're on now.
Well, I don't think we should I wouldn't say if you don't do this, then this. I think I'd just be inclined to have a communication that expresses our displeasure and concern about the way this was handled. And we hope it won't occur in the future.
And
we hope it will be, you know, notified in advance when the conservation fund is proposed to be used for an expenditure. Something like that.
So it's not for both, the way it's supposed to be. Right.
Well, I mean, I think it would be
I'm always a little concerned about the threat kind of aspect of it. If you don't do this, then...
Mm-hmm. And it didn't come from the mayor's office, right?
Yep, she came in and asked us about it today.
Does she have any money?
No. Problem.
I mean, it does sound like, to me, it sounds like a project more from the assessor's department. I mean, identifying boundaries of lots up there. I can see where we have some benefit from it in terms of identifying the location of city property, particularly because it's a wetland area, but I don't really understand how it falls upon us. I think there are other departments or other offices in the city government that should be...
Well, you know, let's suppose the city and some other part of the city has a concern that somebody's encroaching on city property. They wouldn't come to the Conservation Commission and say, you've got to pay for a survey here because so-and-so may be encroaching on the Brown School property or the high school property or whatever. You know, that's really what's at stake. It's not really the concept. But anyway, it's kind of water over the dam, unfortunately, because of the way it was handled. And that's what troubles Dan, I think, and troubles a lot of us.
Well, maybe we could split it with someone else. Who else? Who would that be?
Well, the assessor's office, DPS.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm less concerned about the $2,900.
Yeah,
it is principal too.
No, I just don't want it to be, you know, happening in the future. Oh, here's a pot of money. Yeah.
Well, we rarely utilize that money, and that fund has been built very slowly over time. But, you know, there are much more important things that we could do with money in that fund. I mean, the Little River Basin hydrology study is much, much, much more important. I don't think we're close to being able to fund that, but that's the kind of thing that we really need to strive for. Do we have a motion with a suggestion?
I guess the motion would be that we communicate with the mayor our concerns about the way this was handled and our hope that this won't recur. Somebody's going to draft something.
Yeah, it just, you know.
I mean, I hate to just sort of approve the expenditure and then go away. And I'm not saying anything about it. I mean, I just don't.
Well,
we're all annoyed, upset, whatever about this, and I think we need to communicate that.
You want to draft something?
I'll draft something and circulate it or whatever. I'll just give it to Julie and she can circulate.
Mm-hmm.
One of the concerns I have, I'm not an open meeting guru. But one of my concerns about all this business with the order of conditions for Whittier is that, you know, at some point, you know, you sort of wonder whether we don't need a meeting
mm-hmm.
rather than just a lot of back and forth on drafts. It's all
It's a good point.
Efficient, but,
it's a good point because we really are hashing out. I mean, you guys closed the public hearing, but you haven't yet voted on issuing an order of conditions. Hashing out these conditions is part of that, you know, discussion. So,
and we usually have done that at a meeting.
Right.
Have done most of it anyway.
Hashing out conditions, you don't have input from the applicant.
Right. Right.
No, but we circulate. We've provided commentary feedback on orders of conditions. As long as it's not shared as a group,
we have.
They're going to get the orders are going to get hashed out at the next meeting. They started getting hashed out here, and they're going to get hashed out at the next meeting.
Well, okay, but
as long as there's not, there's not sort of an open email discussion about it where everyone is CC'd on everyone's comments and responding back and forth. That we can't have happen. You guys can send me individually your comments. I can forward them to them. And consolidate and forward, but it can't be a discussion online.
No. No, that's definitely not.
Back to the payment.
I'm recused again.
So you're going
to... I'll draft something.
But we need a motion to either pay or not pay.
I guess I move that we pay it. I don't see any point in delaying it. Unless we're proposing not to pay, unless we really don't think we're going to pay it. And I don't think we should. I don't think we're going to get anywhere kind of running around trying to get somebody to split it with us. But if you all think that's a good idea.
I think Andy articulated a rationale for it fairly well too in his email. If you hadn't taken a look already at number 4 in Andy's email today about the survey work, it sort of makes the argument that it is.
With all due respect,
yeah,
it's coming out of one of his departments. It's coming out of somewhere over there. I mean, he's overseeing his other offices.
Coming out of the planning department, and,
yeah,
and it makes the most sense for it to come out of conservation. Yeah.
Because there's no money anywhere else.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I'd rather not attach a rationale to it, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Wasn't there $1.6 million in free cash at the end of the last fiscal year?
Yeah.
Well, it must be a lot of snow removal money somewhere around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a motion on the floor. We have a second.
Okay, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Carries.
Do you want to draft a letter?
Yeah, I'll draft one.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay.
If I've gotten any facts wrong, you can tell me about it. I don't even want to go to the issue of maybe there was already a survey out there, we didn't even need this.
All right.
I know there wasn't. I've got pictures of the states.
Probably right.
Last item. Beach Management Committee updates to the NOI regarding placing sand between 53rd and 57th Street. I think we discussed this at one other point, if I remember right, but I had an email exchange with Allison Hartquist, and she was talking about wanting to put more sand out there. And I suggested to her that the Beach Management Committee propose an amendment to the NOI to cover doing that, so we don't have to go through the crap we went through last year. And she thought that was a good idea and was going to do something, but we're coming up hard on April 1st, and has there been any discussion at the Beach Management Committee regarding
Not really. Are you talking about the quality of the sand or just the placing of?
There should be a condition in the beach management order of conditions, beach management plan order of conditions, specifying placement of sand there. Assuming you're going to do it every year.
Okay.
And, it's going to dictate that's going to have to get sieved, unlike the one last year.
Yeah, the only thing that came up in the meeting last week was the compatibility issue. Mm-hmm. They didn't talk anything about how it was going to get there, but they only talked about being compatible with what was already there.
So you're talking about an amendment to the NOI for that would allow for annual replenishment of sand at 55th and 57th Street access points.
Well, 53rd, too.
53rd.
Yeah,
55th.
For that whole area.
Yeah. Okay.
April 1st, is that a piping plumber day? Is that, yeah.
Every time we add sand up there, we end up tearing up the dunes somewhere. And they never get a chance to recover. I doubt they've recovered from the last round. I don't know.
I don't remember the outcome of the of that entry area that's further
they dumped it from
north there.
Tim Tracy's drive from his dead end, right? That's pretty much where it was all dumped from.
Oh, no, it was dumped from 57th to, or 55th Street too. And 57th.
Yeah.
They dumped it all down there.
Has anyone seen the Hamani residence, the beach side of the Hamani residence lately?
No.
About a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago.
What'd you see?
I guess it looks better than it did a couple of years ago when it was about to fall into the ocean. But
exposed bags.
It looks like it needs some help.
We haven't got a storm this winter either.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Wait till the fall.
So yeah, I just want it officially taken care of. You know,
okay.
I don't want to run around on a Friday again with my hair on fire.
I'll talk to Andy about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
Because they're going to want to put stuff out there, and you know, frankly, when they went out there and regraded and sifted everything, I think it was illegal. It was done during plover season. So, we'd like it taken care of properly.
Does Tim Tracy ever cover up his bags?
I contacted him and told him. He said he was trying to contact, what's that, the contractor out there who put up all those bags. He said he was going to contact them. I haven't heard from him since. I haven't heard from Allison since. So, I don't know.
Well, at least there's some open dialogue between you and Allison.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not...
That's certainly an awful lot better than it was at this point last year. We had no idea what they were planning, so...
Yeah.
That's good.
She wasn't at the Beach Management Committee meeting last week.
Oh, okay.
Allison couldn't make it, so that would have probably been helpful. But I'll see if Andy can get in touch with her. I'll try and get in touch with her and find out.
Yeah.
When's the next Beach Management meeting?
It's going to be in March.
Well, that'll give you 2 weeks.
Ides of March.
Where are the Ides of March?
Between that meeting and April 1st, it's only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So. Oh, we'll have to be in touch with her long before that. But is she the one who was saying she was going to submit a request for an amendment? I mean, because it could just as easily come from the planning department.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it could come from anybody.
It could come from Andy.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, I mean, we could put it together whenever.
Yeah, they were going to discuss it, and...
Okay, we just need to get that on top of the agenda to get that done, and we'll have to send out an email to the group and make sure that's okay with everybody.
Okay. The original NOI was from the city, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, was it from the association out there?
No. No, it's a city. We voted on the we voted on the whole plan, approved the whole plan and the NOI and everything. So,
refresh my memory. Does our blanket plan does it allow for nourishment?
No. I don't remember the exact wording, but they need a permit to do it. That's why we had that lovely meeting back in July.
Yeah.
So once this permit is issued, is this going to be a kind of a continuing permit?
Well, yeah.
For, yeah, God, it, for the, that was the intent. It isn't, as far as I know, that they want to do anything in particular right now. But we wanted them to have these conditions in there so that when some sort of emergency or almost emergency arose, that they would know if they worked within these guidelines, they could do it. You know, they wouldn't have to file a notice of intent or an emergency serve or anything.
So it's really, the order of conditions was really for implementation of all the recommendations in the beach management plan. And there are very specific recommendations in there. So that's why you didn't.
Yeah. Okay. It was mostly just to save everybody headaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What the
are the access ways open there, or are they closed?
I think they're closed right now. At least that ramp, yeah.
Definitely closed. The stairway is closed.
Yeah.
Oh, 53rd's probably, it should be open. I don't know how much sand is left.
I mean, that's going to be the issue. Is
they
what's
going
to happen is, as soon as the warm weather starts approaching, they're going to say, this is an unsafe situation. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we can make it clear to those parties interested that if they're going to plan on doing something, they need to do it before April 1st.
Yeah.
Oh,
they may not be thinking about
it. No, Allison's well aware of that. But she sent me an email back in right after the New Year.
Okay.
About
she did?
That.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if they come to us on May 15th and say, we need 15 truckloads of sand out there, we say, tough.
Don't do it anyways, and we'll have another meeting.
Well, they're all thinking about other things right now, so this isn't going to come to the top of their head until that time when it's an emergency. So, yeah, we need to get this going now.
And I, you know, I don't know why, like, Andy can't write something up and we vote on it as an amendment. I don't know what the...
Mm-hmm.
Why the whole, you got to wait until March 15th for it?
No, I don't think we do, but I think the Beach Management Committee needs to agree, to request that amendment, and that should just be a formality.
Well, is it that some of them haven't really, not all on board in terms of putting sand out there? Or?
No, I don't think so. What do you think?
No, I don't think anybody's got different opinions. I think it's more matter of everybody has too much to do and trying to figure out how to write specific conditions.
Yeah, so I think if Andy and I can draft something and send it to the Beach Management Committee for approval, then we can submit it to you guys for one of the next meetings.
Tune for the next meeting.
That'd be the next meeting.
So you're all set and they can order up their sand before April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if there's any pushback, it will be pushback on you.
Yeah, we had enough from last year. Thank you.
Exactly.
We're still recovering.
What happened last year? They
they just went ahead and did it. Wanted and with the mayor's approval, so it was just lovely.
Because it wasn't approved as part of this beach management.
We issued an enforcement order against the city after the fact, and
you got messy, huh?
It got ugly, and then it resulted in getting
I remember reading
request for Doug Tracker to be the conservation agent for just Plum Island.
Yeah.
Oh, it just rolled into
stupidity.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, it was hard to believe what was going on. I was just like, are you kidding?
The Plum Island residents were just—they were absolutely livid with
spiraling.
Us.
For trying to stop it.
We weren't trying to stop it. It was already a done deal.
Yeah, I learned about it on a Friday after most of it had already been put in. And I went out there and called DEP and wrote up an enforcement order and taped it to the door of DPS that Friday afternoon. It was fun.
Oh, it was just
it was a fun time.
Yes, please let that not happen again.
That's why I'm trying to avoid it.
Okay. Now I have a better perspective about the urgency here.
You see all the videos of the council meeting.
Well, did that come before or after all the stone dust ended up in the river?
That was after.
That was another TPS.
Yes, that was another fantastic TPS.
Okay, am I wrong, or are plans supposed to be stamped by a registered professional engineer?
Correct.
Okay. I thought they were acting like I was crazy.
I know it's a requirement of our zoning ordinance. Of our
wetlands. Well, and when you write up the order of conditions, it asks for this. Who is it signed and stamped by?
Right.
Okay.
I suspect it's every page, not just the front page.
Yeah, usually it's every page.
I know. I know. I was feeling kind of funny about that.
Right. Yeah. Is that
I can give you.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Bill.
Aye. Opposed?